Alienated Nation, The New Quest for Liberty, The Silent Scream. I began studying this subject about 20 years ago when I was working on a team to elect a new Tennessee senator. I was so moved by the statistics and the facts of this subject that I decided to get involved. Within a year, I was elected to be president of the largest chapter in the state and produced excellent support for the candidate the state sent to Washington. I became a speechwriter for Alan Keyes and delivered one of the speeches to multiple standing ovations at the Lincoln Birthday Fundraiser in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I was also nominated to be a delegate to the 1996 presidential election, which I turned down. Each year, about 30,000 people die on American highways. Actually, the rate of traffic fatalities have steadily fallen since 2007, in part because people are driving less and in part because the threshold of safety measures in vehicles has been reached. About 10 times that number of Americans are killed each year without ever being able to make a sound because they don't yet breathe air. More than 30 million Americans have been denied the right to life by a single multi-billion-dollar organization that operates under the guise of a women's health provider. Don't start with me. I am pro-choice in the sense that I believe a woman has the right to choose whether or not to become pregnant. No woman should become pregnant who does not want to be pregnant. That is not the point for the commercialization of this mega corporation, and never was. It was always about the money. Planned Parenthood charges about $500 cash for each fetal termination. There are no terms for such a procedure because the emotional crash after such an event is so powerful that women have a difficult time making payments for a procedure that she will spend the rest of her life trying to expunge from her memory. These procedures are always paid in advance of the actual procedure. Planned Parenthood performed 329,445 fetal terminations in 2010. This is one of the dirty little secrets kept quiet by the large political contributions and lobby groups that operate in Washington. Planned Parenthood Federation of America, the PPFA, commonly shortened to Planned Parenthood, is the U.S. affiliate of the International Planned Parenthood Federation and one of its larger members. PPFA claims to be a nonprofit organization providing reproductive health and maternal and child health services. The Planned Parenthood Action Fund, Inc., PPAF, is a related organization which lobbies for pro-choice legislation, comprehensive sex education, and access to affordable health care in the United States. Planned Parenthood is the largest provider of what they claim are reproductive health services in the United States, which include contraceptives and abortions, among other services. Contraception accounts for 35% of PPFA's total services, and abortions account for 3%. PPFA claims they conduct roughly 300,000 abortions each year among 3 million people served. The actual numbers, reported by Guttmacher Institute, exceed 1.2 million abortions each year. By any standard, about 30% of the women treated by Planned Parenthood lose a living child in the process. The organization has its roots in Brooklyn, New York, where Margaret Sanger opened the country's first birth control clinic. Sanger founded the American Birth Control League in 1921, which in 1942 became part of the Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Since then, Planned Parenthood has grown to over 820 clinic locations in the U.S., with a total annual budget of $1 billion. PPFA provides an array of services to over 3 million people in the United States and supports services for over 1 million clients outside the United States. What you are about to read is one of the most powerful points of fact in the alienation of Americans from America. On October 19th, 1939, Margaret Sanger outlined a plan for stopping the growth of the black community. She predicted in her own words that, quote, the most successful educational approach to the Negro is through a religious appeal. We do not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population, and the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their rebellious members. Close quote. Her planning, which included being careful to make it appear that hand-picked blacks are in control, what has been an undeniable financial success even today. Faye Waddleson's position as president of PPFA was testimony to that fact. The Birth Control Review, founded by Sanger in 1917, was totally committed to the eugenics philosophy. Eugenics is the study of or belief in the possibility of improving the qualities of the human species or a human population, especially by such means as discouraging reproduction by persons having genetic defects or presumed to have inheritable undesirable traits, which is called negative eugenics, or encouraging reproduction by persons presumed to have inheritable desirable traits. That's positive eugenics. The official editorial policy of the review endorsed IQ testing, which classified blacks, Southern Europeans, and other immigrants as mentally inferior to native-born white Americans and called them a nuisance and a menace to society. In the 1920s, she tried to use the results from IQ tests, which classified the U.S. soldier as a near moron, to back up her own findings. Sanger truly believed these groups were a dead weight of human waste and a menace to the race. Throughout the pages of the Birth Control Review, Ms. Sanger's journal, there are countless quotes which not only suggest that she favored eugenics, but that she provided a forum to those who wished to spread their fear of human life, when that life was conceived by someone other than a member of society's elite. Since 1942, the organization has grown to one of the biggest political sledgehammers in Washington. Labeled as the Freedom of Choice, or as Women's Reproductive Rights, or even Women's Health Services, the leadership advertises contraception, but conducts a global business of fetal termination, all the way up to the point where the child can breathe air on its own. In the book, there is a graph, Abortions by Race. It compares whites, blacks, and all others. Over 60% of the abortions are for blacks. About 30% of the abortions are other, and the remaining portion are white. The graph shows the results of the organization's marketing plan, their physical locations in the community, and the demographics of their services. Planned Parenthood has terminated so many black children that Hispanics surpassed blacks as the largest minority in America in 2004. Although more than 30 million fetal terminations have been performed, the planning behind the procedure is the key to why I've included this information in this book. The agency government has alienated us from our own unborn. When you look at the reasons reported for abortions, they're broken into six areas. Rape at 0.3%, incest at 0.03%, the physical life of the mother at 0.2%, the physical health of the mother 1.0%, the fetal health at 0.5%, and personal choice 97.97%. The number to pay attention to in the table above is the personal choice data. All the marketing and lobbying for Planned Parenthood contains a pure focus on the first five reasons posted above, which, as you can see, total to about 2 0.03% of the total amount of fetal terminations. They make public and powerful efforts to never mention the last reason in any of their marketing information. It is abundantly clear that fetal termination is practiced as birth control. The question remains, what are they trying to control? The personal choices are grouped together in the table, but there is a global demographic spread that is important to know about. A 2005 study estimated that over 90 million females were missing from the expected population in Afghanistan, Bangladesh, China, India, Pakistan, South Korea, and Taiwan alone, and suggested that sex-selective abortion plays a role in this deficit. India's 2011 census shows a serious decline in the number of girls under the age of 7. Activists believe 8 million female fetuses may have been terminated between 2001 and 2011. Some research suggests that culture plays a larger role than economic conditions in gender preference and sex-selective abortion, because such deviations in sex ratios do not exist in sub-Sahara Africa, Latin America, and the Caribbean. Other demographers, however, argue that perceived gender imbalances may arise from the underreporting of female births rather than sex-selective abortion or infanticide. Sex-selective abortion was rare before the late 20th century because of the difficulty of determining the sex of the fetus before birth, but ultrasound has made such selection easier. There is an ultrasound unit within walking distance of nearly every abortion clinic in the world. Prior to this, parents would alter family sex compositions through infanticide, that is, abortion after the baby is born. In America, we call this late-term abortion, all the way up to the 9th month, significantly after any fetus could be delivered as viable through cesarean section, children can be killed and discarded. The procedure is performed after the head clears the vaginal opening, just as the baby is opening its eyes to look upon its new world. The physician pierces the base of the skull, severing the connection between the brain and the body. If he is skillful, the mother will never hear the baby's first cry. The disclosure of late-term fetal terminations shocked the American public. Planned Parenthood has effectively impoverished any politician who mentions this procedure in any public rhetoric. The termination of female babies is an anthropological phenomenon never mentioned in history. Men have been lost in war and even into bondage, but women have been preserved to protect the propagation of the human race. Females are the limiting factor to any race. What was even more shocking was that these countries were not the only ones practicing such atrocities. A 2006 Zogby poll found that 86% of Americans support a ban on gender-based abortions. However, legislation sponsored by Congressman Trent Franks in 2009 to enact such a ban was not approved. Fortunately, Congressman Franks is not easily dissuaded and remains committed to making this procedure illegal in America. He will be reintroducing this legislation, the Prenatal Non-Discrimination Act, passed out of committee as H.R. 3541. This legislation would ban all gender-based abortions as well as all race-based abortions. As of the writing of this book, the legislation is not making progress toward passage. Within minutes of the legislation coming out of committee, the Planned Parenthood Press Army began its work. Quote, "This is incredibly effing disturbing, but this is what we've come to. Male lawmakers are attempting to pass laws that would allow a man to sue a woman for refusing to carry his child to term, or a woman's parents to file an injunction to keep their teenage daughter pregnant. But not only are lawmakers trying to write laws that would make a woman's uterus subject to the approval of her parents or partner, they're trying to do it under the guise of civil rights. Your body, their choice. Close quote. While the problem of America's gender-based abortion is at first glance more obvious because how prevalent and public it is, the occurrence of race-based abortions is equally abhorrent and possibly just as common. It is particularly alarming that Planned Parenthood has been caught on camera accepting funds for the purpose of aborting minority babies. This fact alone, the largest abortion provider in the world, is willing to earmark funds for the abortion of minority babies, makes it clear that race-based abortions must be outlawed. The American Center for Law and Justice applauds Congressman Franks for his heroic stand against race-based and gender-based abortions. The facts are beginning to make their way to the many foundations that donate money to Planned Parenthood. The proof is so stark and so offensive that they have begun to withdraw their support. Do you think the alienated nation exists? Wait till you hear this story. Breast cancer charity giant Susan G. Komen for the Cure chose not to renew a grant to Planned Parenthood to fund breast exams under the direction of their vice president, Karen Handel. She had already publicly stated her opposition to abortion, a service provided at most of the Planned Parenthood facilities. Handel wrote in her unsuccessful gubernatorial campaign blog that she, quote, does not support the mission of Planned Parenthood, close quote. She goes on to say, during my time as chairman of Fulton County, there were federal and state pass-through grants that were awarded to Planned Parenthood for breast and cervical cancer screening as well as a Healthy Babies Initiative. Since grants like these are from the state, I'll eliminate them as your next governor, close quote. She also wrote that she opposes stem cell research and supports crisis pregnancy centers, which are unregulated. Christian-run operations, whose main mission is to convince pregnant women not to have abortions. Over the 5 years prior to Handel's January 30th announcement, the Komen organization had given Planned Parenthood health centers the funds to provide nearly 170,000 clinical breast exams to low-income and uninsured women. She had made the statement that there was little evidence that Planned Parenthood actually provided the breast exams, and instead used the funds to pay for abortions. Pro-choice activists claimed that Handel compromised to pressure from anti-abortion lawmakers and organizations to cut off hundreds of thousands of dollars in grants to Planned Parenthood. By February 2nd, 3 days later, the lobbyists' full frontal attack forced the issue to the front pages all over the world. The Susan G. Komen for the Cure Foundation apologized for cutting off funding from Planned Parenthood and vowed to revise the policy that led to an intense backlash against the nation's largest breast cancer organization. Quote, we want to apologize to the American public for recent decisions that cast doubt upon our commitment to our mission of saving women's lives. We have been distressed at the presumption that the changes made to our funding criteria were done for political reasons or to specifically penalize Planned Parenthood. They were not, says President and Founder Nancy Brinker in a statement. She goes on to say, our original desire was to fulfill our fiduciary duty to our donors by not funding grant applications made by organizations under investigation. She later added, we will amend the criteria to make clear that disqualifying investigations must be criminal and conclusive in nature and not political. That is what is right and fair. Close quote. The next day, Karen Handel resigned. For nearly 30 years, surveys have been done to validate the general feeling about fetal terminations in America. 86% of people and roughly the same percentage of voters think that abortions, a form of birth control, is wrong. Quote, the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act is nonpartisan. Nearly 70% of Americans, pro-life and pro-choice, don't want their dollars going to pay for abortions. If President Obama vetoes this legislation, he will be stomping on the freedoms we hold dear in this country and making every one of us complicit in abortion, a moral abhorrence for over half of the population, close quote. The rhetoric is locked and loaded by billion-dollar propagandists who have proven they are ready to politically destroy anyone who attempts to stop the flow of money and control over the demographics of society. Still, more than $1 billion annually is laundered through other programs labeled as women's health services and provided to Planned Parenthood for legitimate health services to offset the costs of providing abortions. The effect is the same. Several major cities worth of Americans have been silenced because of the billion-dollar abortion industry established by Margaret Sanger. It is one of the most direct examples of a megacorporation consuming tax dollars to provide a service that results in the death of more than one-third of its patients. Americans and politicians have looked the other way, while this industry has operated unchecked for many decades. Its operation has alienated millions of Americans from their children, their wives, and their government agencies. Karen Handel was proud to run a foundation that is dedicated to saving women's lives by winning the battle against breast cancer. She was completely dedicated to her company and was so heartbroken that the abortion bureaucracy was strong enough to force the company to reverse her decision that she resigned. That, my friends, is the ultimate alienation. When you're full of love and hope and intelligent anticipation, but you breathe amniotic fluid instead of air, it is impossible to scream.